Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going a bit beyond the usual suspects. Forget just wind and solar for a moment.
Yeah, we're looking ahead.
We're diving into what you might call the next horizon of energy. Three really fascinating frontiers. First, this whole white gold rush for natural hydrogen. Then some breakthrough generation tech.
Like fusion, yeah.
Exactly. And finally, the modern comeback of wireless power. But our mission here is simple. Cut through the hype.
Get to the real story. Let's do it.
Okay, first up, geologic hydrogen. People call it white gold. Now, this isn't the hydrogen most people think of, the manufactured stuff, right?
Correct. Not gray, blue, or green. This is H2 hydrogen gas that's naturally occurring, found right there in the Earth's crust.
A primary source, then. We don't have to make it.
Precisely. It mostly forms through a process called serpentinization. Fancy word. But it's basically water reacting with specific iron-rich rocks, like olivine.
Okay. Water plus rock equals hydrogen.
In a nutshell, yeah. Or sometimes through radiolysis, where natural radiation splits water. And it's, you know, continuously generated down there.
So, is it renewable? Or is that debated?
That's the million-dollar question, really. It is constantly being made. But whether the rate is fast enough on human timescales, well, the science is still hashing that out.
But the cost, that's what jumps out.
Yeah.
Projections are like 50 cents to a dollar per kilo.
Yeah. It's potentially incredibly cheap. Compare that to green hydrogen, which is, what, $2 to $7 a kilo? Maybe more.
Wow. That's a massive difference. No wonder interest is surging.
Absolutely. You know, back in 2020, maybe 10 companies were looking into this. Now, over 40.
And where are they looking? I know Mali has that one famous...
Barque-Bourgou, yeah. That's still the only place producing continuously, over 97% pure hydrogen. But the hot spots for exploration now are places like the U.S. Mid-Continent Rift.
Coloma, Hytera, those guys.
Right. And the Lorraine Basin in France. Huge potential estimates there, millions of tons. Also Australia, where gold hydrogen found H2 and helium together.
Helium? Okay, that sounds interesting. Why helium?
Well, helium is valuable stuff, 30 to 70 euros a kilogram, sometimes more.
Whoa.
Yeah. So if you find it with the hydrogen, the helium sales can seriously subsidize the whole project. Could even make more money than the hydrogen itself. It really de-risks things.
Okay, so that's finding it naturally. But what's this stimulated hydrogen I read about?
Ah, right. That's a different angle. The U.S. Department of Energy, through ARPE, is funding research, about $20 million worth.
And the idea is?
The idea is to basically engineer the hydrogen generation underground, inject water into the right kind of rock formations to kickstart that serpentinization process.
So moving from high-risk exploration to something more like controllable manufacturing.
Exactly. It's a strategic shift. But, you know, there are still big challenges for you listeners to watch. Purity is key. You don't want methane mixed in, especially for low carbon intensity rules and U.S. tax credits.
And getting it to where it's needed, I assume. Hydrogen transport is tricky.
Very tricky. And expensive over long distances.
Yeah.
So ideally, you need these sources close to industrial users.
Okay, let's shift gears. From under our feet, way up to the ultimate energy challenge. Nuclear fusion.
The Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail, indeed. Immense potential, but notoriously difficult.
You've got the big public projects like ITER in France. Huge budget.
Right? Massive. Over $20 billion. But ITER's goal is purely scientific feasibility. They're aiming for Q10, 10 times energy out versus in, maybe by 2039. Critically, though, ITER itself won't generate electricity for the grid.
Right. It's a science experiment, basically.
A very important one. But the really dynamic space right now is the private sector.
Yeah. What's happening there?
It's exploded. Over 50 private companies, they've raised something like $9 billion combined.
What's driving that acceleration?
A big piece is breakthroughs in magnets, specifically high-temperature superconducting magnets, HTS magnets.
Okay. And why are they so important? They let you create much stronger magnetic fields to contain the plasma, but in a much smaller, more compact device. That makes commercial reactors seem, well, much more feasible much sooner.
So it's becoming a commercial race, not just science.
Absolutely. Look at the deals being signed. Helion has a power purchase agreement with Microsoft aiming to deliver actual power by 2028.
2028. That's soon for fusion.
It's ambitious.
Yeah.
And Commonwealth Fusion Systems, CFS, they're working with Google. The initial market here isn't necessarily your house. It's big industrial users.
Like data centers.
Yeah.
AI needing tons of power.
Exactly. Customers who need reliable 24/7 clean power and might pay a premium for it. That's where the first commercial fusion power might actually go.
Fascinating. Okay, third area, wireless power. This brings Nikola Tesla to mind, right? His grand vision.
Ah, yes. Tesla and Wardenclyffe Tower. The world wireless system, aiming for global, free broadcast power.
But it didn't work out. Yeah. Funding, yes, but also physics.
Fundamentally, yeah. Power just drops off too quickly with distance for that kind of broadcast model to be practical or efficient.
So today's wireless power isn't that single big dream.
Not at all. It's much smarter, much more targeted. It's really a collection of different technologies for specific niche applications working within the limits of physics.
Okay, like what? Give us some examples.
Well, you've got companies like EMROD. They use microwave beaming. Think of it like a virtual wire.
Virtual wire.
Yeah, sending kilowatts, maybe even megawatts over kilometers. Useful for remote sites, islands, disaster relief maybe. They claim high efficiency, over 97% beam collection, and safety systems. Their long game might even be space-based solar power.
Okay, microwaves over distance. What else?
Then there's something totally different, like Osia's CODA technology that uses radio frequency, RF.
And that's for what?
Lower power, much shorter range. Think milliwatts to a few watts over a few meters. Perfect for things like electronic shelf labels in stores, small IoT sensors.
So it solves the battery problem for all those little devices.
Exactly. That's the pain point. No more changing thousands of batteries. And it uses beacon signals, so it inherently avoids sending power through people.
Smart. And then there's EV charging.
Right. That's where companies like Watricity come in. They use resonant inductive coupling. Think watts to kilowatts, but over very short distances, centimeters up to maybe a meter.
So you just park your car over a pad.
Pretty much. Effortless charging. So you see, Tesla's huge single vision has been kind of intelligently broken down.
Deconstructed into practical, commercially viable solutions for specific problems.
That's it. Finding the right tool for the right job based on what physics allows.
So, wrapping this deep dive up, what's the big picture takeaway for you from this next horizon?
For me, it's seeing how different approaches are emerging. You've got this almost old school geological exploration for hydrogen, but with new potential.
Right, like adapting existing industries.
Yeah. And then these really cutting edge breakthrough technologies like fusion, finding very specific high value initial markets. It's not always about powering the whole grid immediately.
And the key, as always, is sorting the real potential from the, you know, the overblown hype, looking at the actual data.
Always, because some of this stuff, while sounding futuristic, is actually getting surprisingly close to reality.
So what should people watch for in the next few years? The real milestones.
Okay, for geologic hydrogen, keep an eye out for results from sustained high-volume flow tests. Can they actually get large amounts out consistently? That's crucial.
Makes sense. Fusion.
Two big ones. Commonwealth Fusion Systems' Spark Demonstrator, watch for it hitting net energy gain, maybe around 2026. And of course, Helion actually delivering power to Microsoft, target 2028.
Those would be huge moments. And wireless.
There, it's about real-world deployment and economics. Watch EMROD's projects, see how they perform, and look for wider adoption of OSIA-enabled devices. Are they actually saving money and hassle at scale?
Those are the real inflection points, then, where the talk meets the reality.
Exactly. Potential is one thing. Demonstrated performance is everything.
It really makes you think, though. What other energy solutions that seem impossible today are just one breakthrough away? Food for thought.